That ain't beat you up. Back to winter. I expect nothing less until the end of May. So weird, though. The other day it was like 34, and my windows was all glassed over and iced up, and I had to wait to defrost it. And even when I squirted the windows, it would flash over. Now here today it's saying 23, and the windows are crystal clear, so go figure. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't have to defrost my truck or anything. I literally just got in and warmed it up. I suppose it's a function of humidity, right? Wouldn't it be? My assumption would be that it was warmer during the day. Maybe we got some rain, I don't remember, and then it started to cool down at night, so all that precipitation and moisture landed on the vehicles and then froze. That's my assessment, but I don't really remember what it was. I know it was wet that week. That it was. Oh, man. I almost called off today. And I got a virtual meeting at 10. I could have easily done that from home. But then I said, nah. I've got no reason to call in today, so. And it's a Tuesday. Oh, for God's sakes, I get behind this guy again. Ah! I was thinking the same thing for tomorrow, but same situation. I have no reason to not go in other than why not. But then it's a Wednesday, so do I just go to work? Like, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think you made the decision to just go to work, so that's probably what will end up happening tomorrow. Oh my God, I can't stand this. There's this little piece of crap car. This person driving it, they can't do the speed limit. They're doing 10 under. So I get over into the right lane to go around them. And right then, all the cars in front of me all stop, come to almost a slow all the way down to turn into this one business. So that car shoots out ahead of me. Oh. Here I am stuck at the light now because of that car. Never mind. Anyhow, I digress. I'm happy. I've got a few of those on my 53 commute that I see pretty much every morning, and I know I have to get in front of them or else they're going to piss me off the entire way. Yeah, the winter here is, you know, it's 45, right? So let's do 45. You can do it. But now they just want to hang, you know, 40, 35, 40. Oh, my God. Is that an EV you're trying to conserve battery or something? Nothing I hate more than an early morning lollygagger. I get it on the weekend. You know, all the retired folk are out. No one's in a hurry because it's their day off, whatever. But Monday through Friday, if you're out at this time, get the hell out of the way. I used to take Clinton River Road into work, just shoot along the Clinton there. And I don't know why this happened to me a couple of times. I just didn't, you know, say never again, but they would be out cutting the grass, you know, the township people, and they would do it during rush hour, you know, and they'd have this tractor, you know, you turn on the Clinton River Road, which is two lanes, no easy way, it's all twisty turny, so it's double yellow lines, you can't, you know, a lot of areas can't pass, and you get stuck behind this tractor, and he wasn't cutting, he was just driving along there, you know, getting to the next spot or whatever. I get caught behind him so many times, and I was like, why in the, you know, I was going to write a letter to the city, why in God's name would you put this 10-mile-an-hour tractor out on the road during rush hour. But smart me just don't use that path anymore. So I haven't been down that in quite a while. So I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I don't imagine this time of year they'd be doing it, but that one used to burn my bottom.
K8RUA. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Anthony. And, yeah, so I have to do a lot of the stuff during rush hour. I see the same thing with, they'll do the 53 crack sealing and road patching crews will be out at the same time, or not usually in the morning, but between, like, 4 and 5 in the afternoon. It's like, wow, that's what you have the highest chance of getting hit.
Anthony?
You know, it's interesting because you'd think that they wouldn't even be working between 4 and 5, or there'd be a switch of shifts or something at that time, that they wouldn't come out until, after 6 o'clock. Because I know years ago I worked for the DPW in Mount Clemens, and they worked 7 to 3, and you never were doing anything during rush hour.
Doesn't seem like a smart move, but oh well. Probably no matter what, you'd run into something. Not sure if there was a fourth in there or not. I thought I heard something that didn't sound like Anthony or Dakota. And I don't think it was me. Pretty sure it wasn't me. So if there's somebody else in there, jump in after me and pass it to Dakota. Otherwise, Dakota.
Sean, did you pull your car in the shop and make sure everything was all proper?
I did not. Is it making noise?
No, that's why I was curious. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you guys burned out the frustrated by traffic topic, but I am frustrated by this weather, man. 25 degrees. I would really like it to be a little bit warmer than that.
I think it's coming, right? I think next week's supposed to be nice. And we got to be getting, here we are, what? We're approaching the middle of the month. So we got to be getting to the point where, we're coming out of this. I would say by the end of April, we should be in the spring.
You know, I dislike the cold weather, but I was telling my nanny this morning, I'm so used to it, it doesn't even faze me anymore. Like, I'm wearing a thin sweatshirt today. The biggest thing for me is the fact that I'm driving to work right now and the sun's coming up. The commuting to and from in the dark, that was starting to take a toll on my mental capacity of being a normal human.
You know, I'm right there with you, Dakota. I have made note the last 2 days how when I left the house, it was already light out, which makes me happy. I'm right there with you, man. It is brutal to be driving to work and it's dark for another hour and a half, or something silly, you know? This is definitely going in the right direction. I'm ready for some long days and hanging out on the patio, that's for sure.
And let me see, so I never get, so we're in daylight savings now, I think, right? Or, and we actually get, like, it stays light later because of daylight savings. I can never remember what the goal was. We had this discussion before. But if that's the case, if this is daylight savings and it's light extra at night, it's like, man, I don't know why they do that for another reason, because I don't know that I really want it to be light until 10. You know, I think I'd like twilight to be 9 o'clock. But I don't know. Maybe everybody wants to get every last bit of daylight they can. You know, so if it could be light till 11 o'clock at night, they'd be good with that.
I didn't give you up. I would like, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I like when it's dark by 9, 9.30-ish. Just because of young kids, it's a lot harder to put them to bed when it's still light out at 10 o'clock. But I think currently we are in, well, that guy's pulled over with a spotlight on him. I think we're currently in daylight saving time. So either way, it's light out in the morning, which is when I would rather have more daylight, right? Wake up, it's sunny, or daylight, I should say, drive to work, you're not miserable, you're not driving in the dark. And then come home, it's still nice, or kind of light, and then, you know, nighttime. But I don't know if we're ever going to get away from this stupid cycle. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I would, a couple times a year, it's nice that it's light till 10 o'clock, 10:30 for a little bit. But I'm with you guys. You know, it's funny because I think back, like, that's like a young person's thing, that you're happy that it's light that late because you're out at bars, you're doing stuff late at night, and it doesn't really affect you. When you get older, you have kids, you're not looking to stay up that late anyway, so it's nice when it's, 9 o'clock, it's twilight. Over to you, Sean.
Well, one thing daylight savings does is it makes it dark in the morning, you know, just as it was starting to get light, that darkens it up, you know, to give us that hour at the end of the day. So, if you don't like dark during the day, I think you stop daylight savings, or during the morning. And I concur, you know. I guess their point is that, you know, waste the darkness driving to work, you know, being at work, waste it there because you want it to, in the summer months, you want it when you're off work. So for us 9-to-5ers, you know, you get more daylight. But I like darkness. Some things I wait for. Remember going to the drive-in in the middle of the summer? It's like we're waiting for the fireworks on the 4th of July, and you're like, you know, you always start up too early, because if you wait until it's dark enough, we'll be starting with our fireworks until, you know, 10 o'clock, and then, you know, by that time, kids are all half fallen asleep.
Sean, wherever you're at right now, that last transmission, the fry came back.
That's no surprise. I'm in that ditch by Jimmy John.
Okay, I'm just trying to pattern it. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, we'll have to keep listening, because you should come out of that ditch and it should be clean again, but yesterday it never cleaned up, so we'll keep listening. Sean, it's funny you say it that way, because when you put it in perspective of fireworks on the 4th of July and waiting for it to get dark, it really gives you a real image of what we're talking about, because, man, sometimes it feels like you're just waiting forever. It's like the middle of the night when you can finally start fireworks.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. And then are there any drive-ins anymore? I don't know if you guys ever been to a drive-in, but we used to have these drive-in theaters where in your car you pull up. You've seen them on movies and stuff like that. But, you know, I think they're pretty much all gone. There's probably a couple specialty ones, like, you know, you'd have to travel to them. But it was a cool experience. But, you know, it always sucks because, you know, the time to do that, you're going to sit in your car and watch a movie. The time to do that is, you know, in the summer when it's warm. And, you know, and it doesn't get, you know, the movie's always started, you know, at twilight, you know, and it's not even, you know, and it was always hard to see the movie because it wasn't dark out. But they'd always have some lesser movie would run before the main attraction, so wasn't terrible, but yeah, the good old driving, cheesy little speaker, you could just hear the dialogue, and wasn't hardly dark enough, and you're sitting in your car, overpriced popcorn, watching the movie, great times, man.
I remember going to one or two as a kid. I was a young kid, got probably 05, 06, so this is a long time ago. But I know there's some abandoned ones over on the west side. I just don't know. I think over by Orchard Lake there's one. But yeah, the whole daylight saving time, Anthony, the fireworks thing, yeah, I remember that vividly. It's like, is it ever going to get dark? And I'm kind of the same way the older I get, where I would just rather it get darker earlier, because now I want to start a fire and drink beer. So I don't want to wait till 10 o'clock.
Dakota, I don't know where you are, but you're frying a little bacon, too. And Sean, yes, I do remember. I am old enough to remember the Mount Clemens drive-in and going there often when I was a kid. I think by the time I was driving, though, I think it was gone. So never got to go as a teenager or anything. And there is still one drive-in, I think, in Dearborn, maybe on Ford Road, maybe in Wyoming, something, not far off 94, so you check that out. But there, I think even last year it was operating, so I think it's still operating.
Well, there you go. That's something to do. It's always a trip. Take the kids. See the way we used to do it back in the day. So, yeah, maybe put that on your calendar. Go to the Ford Wyoming. I think that's what it was called, if that one's still there. Do a drive-in. Watch the little hot dog jump into the bun. Oh, man. Good stuff. But, yeah, we used to wait. It always starts the movie when it's still light out. Because, you know, it's summertime, and it doesn't get dark until 10 o'clock, so they got them. And fireworks. And, yeah, it's another good one. You want to have a fire and drink some beer, and you got to wait till 10 o'clock. Yeah, I could do without daylight savings. Then it gets dark a little bit earlier. Be a little bit better, I think. Wouldn't have to drive in the dark in the morning. So that's it. We've settled it. Send a memo to Donald. Tell him to get it done, man. Get it done.
Sean, you went inaudible at the tail end of that. But I was just going to say, in conclusion, we're all on the same page that we don't need daylight saving time. Vote it out. We don't want it. And then, Anthony, I was between 26 and 23 on 53. Kind of a low dead spot that Romeo, Richmond, and Warren fringe out on. And then as soon as I crest the hill at 23, I'm fine. So that's where I was at.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that we're all the decision makers on this and it's been settled. So I can sleep easy tonight.
There you go. Well, I know we brought it up in committee a few weeks ago, and when they first did it, we had time to look at all the white papers and discuss this with our colleagues, and today was the day to get it done. So, Dakota, you're going to draft up the memo, send it off to Donald, and have him get on that. I'd like to see this resolved by the end of the week.
Yeah, when I get to the office, I'll have my co-pilot draft up a nice formal letter stating that daylight savings is useless and no longer necessary.
Well, I'm glad Dakota has that direct line to the top so that we can get this taken care of.
It takes access, man. Gotta have access. Oh, man, yeah, I was alongside of a great big old dumpster on wheels and when I was noisy there a little bit ago. I am right in front of Nino Salvaggio's right now. So I think up here along 59, if I get into certain situations, I get a little noisy. So that's what that is. I don't know if that's down from its peak performance or what, but I'll have to give it a look. Oops, now I got to get over because I never remember they're going to force you to make the Michigan left if you don't get over right in front of Dakota's work.
I'd be curious what you find, because you're back at the same fry as yesterday. You're out of schedule. Well, no, you're on time. I'm late today. I'm going through bumper to bumper on 53 right now. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't hit much traffic today, which was good. The ride home yesterday was terrible. I just don't know where all these people suddenly come from when it gets nice outside.
So I've switched over to the Clem. That should be better. Only thing left to do is find my coffee and get to work. I usually do coffee here a little bit past Dakota's place. I think it's, is it Heidenreich? Yeah. Yep. There's a Starbucks right at Heidenreich. And that's usually my, even though I got to make the spin around to get into it, and then I got to make the spin around to get back on track. Usually it's pretty good. I can get in and out of this one pretty fast. I wish they would. They have two of them on 59, and they're both on the north side. I wish they'd put one on the south side for us eastbounders. But, they don't have a southbound one until you get all the way over to Hall Road and 94. That's past where I got to go. And I'm still making the spin around because I got to, if I go past, then I got to spin around and come back. So, anywho, holy cow. Well, I guess I'm not getting a coffee this morning. What the hell is going on here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cars. Yeah, I guess I'm going to skip it.
Isn't this the time you, you're a little bit late for coffee today, aren't you? I was going to say, isn't this the time you always get it, but I think you're probably 10 minutes past when you usually do.
Just another form of traffic. Starbucks traffic. Never good.
Yeah, everything over here is congested. You know, now trying to get out of the Starbucks, I've never seen it. It's bumper to bumper. Westbound 59, and I'm going to play hell trying to get out onto 59 here. There's a light that hopefully will catch, but yeah, it's just, it's really weird because it's a lot more traffic all over, everywhere.
Where I'm right now, let's see if I can get out here. Yep.
Anywho, oh well. I got to drop back and punt now and figure out what I'm going to do for coffee. Might have to be a Tim Hose morning.
The last 2 days I've made coffee at home and brought it, and it's been fine, but it's not the same as my Big B or my energy drink, but I'm trying to get rid of the energy drink part of my life.
I bring coffee from home every day, and maybe once a week at most, once every other week, I'm stopping at Starbucks. I just don't. I really like coffee. I don't enjoy it enough to spend $3 or more every day on it, that's for sure.
I shouldn't. I should be trying to trim all that stuff, getting ready for the Great Recession.
That was the epiphany I had the other day. I'm like, I'm spending $5 to $8 a morning on a Gator Light and an energy drink or a coffee and a whatever, a water. It's like, I have all that at home. Why am I buying it? Why am I getting out of my truck and going in a building instead of just going to work and having free stuff?
Yeah, man, it adds up quick. And you can end up in a gas station and you think you're just going to go grab a coffee or a Gatorade, and before you know it, it's $10 or whatever. But hey, we all know how it is. If you break a 20 for $5, you might as well have spent the whole 20.
Well, I don't know about that. Holy cow, even Tim Hortons has got a line. Just no coffee for me. It's going to be free coffee at work day.
Free coffee at at work day. And that's the worst part, is I brought my old Keurig to work. I've got K-cups there. Like, I'm just a degenerate, and I was always buying stuff I didn't need to buy. So I sat down. I'm like, okay, between my boss and I, it's whoever buys lunch that day, it's $40. There's no way around it, $40 to $50, unless we get Taco Bell, then it's like $30. And then, you know, $5 to $8 a morning for coffee. It's like, I'm sort of $200 a week on, you know, stuff I have at home. So I've been packing my lunch and bringing coffee. Day two of that, though. We'll see how long it lasts.
I would be much smarter to pack my lunch, but I enjoy getting out of the office for a little bit every day. So it often makes it difficult for me to bring a lunch, because then I still want to go out, whether I'm buying something or not, and it just never works out. I always get like 3-4 days in and then go back to my old habits.
Sean wrestling for a spot at Timmy Ho's.
Must be, or he took a phone call. So, hey, Saturday morning, I think I'm headed out to fish at the Clinton at Yates. If you're around, grab your waders, meet me out there, or let me know if you can come, and I'll get a fly rod in your hand if you want. I think the suckers are running.
I'm supposed to scout this Saturday morning, but what time are you thinking?
Eight o'clock. It'll be early.
I don't know what's causing the network to stroke out, but there's a huge burst at the end. I will be in the, well, either in the truck or in a field somewhere with binoculars at that time, but I appreciate the offer. I do want to get out with you this summer, though, because I have never done it. And for some reason, I don't know if my phone's just always listening, which I'm sure it is, I've had so many fly fishing videos and recommendations and ads pop up on my feed that it's like, well, I feel like I need to try this.
Yeah, at the, in like 2 weeks is the trout opener on the, in the whole state, but you can fish trout at Paint Creek, like at that park in Rochester and stuff. I've only done it a few times, but my cousin that I fish with, he's done it a ton, so we'll probably still be getting out. I'm trying to do a lot more local fishing this year just so I can get out more instead of having to go up north every time. Even though from my house to Rochester takes forever, I'm halfway up north at that point if I just stayed on 75. So whatever, we'll get out at some point before, maybe before June. A lot of times it starts getting too warm, and you don't want to fish the Paint Creek when it's warm just because it's bad for the fish's health.
Are there trout in the Clinton there?
I don't want to say absolutely not, but it is not in the Clinton River. That is not a species that you target. There could be, but there's also big predator fish in the Clinton, so you don't really see trout because they're smaller and less likely to make it through a big predator fish. So in the Clinton right now, people are fishing for steelhead and suckers primarily.
Okay, so, well, I thought I heard you say up by Yates. That's the Clinton, isn't it? Or was it Paint Creek? Yeah, so now I'm not sure where you said you were going to try to get to.
So Saturday, I'm going to the Clinton over by Yates. We'll start and we'll fish a big section of that. And then in a few weeks, when the trout opener happens, we'll start fishing up on the Paint Creek primarily from Rochester and up.
All right.
right, I got it. Hey, anyhow, I'm just pulling in here to the shop. So you guys be safe. We'll catch you. Dakota? All right, Sean, yeah, I'm at the office here, too, just chilling in the truck. I'll catch you this afternoon, I'm sure. Have a good day. And, all right, go ahead, Anthony, I'll let you clear it out.
All right, gentlemen, well, I just pulled into my parking spot, so everybody have a great day. We'll try to connect this afternoon, otherwise talk to you in the morning. This is KERUH.
Hey, DVF, I don't know if I cleared.
KFHDZZ monitoring. radio check, K-A-A-U-G-Q. K-A-8-U-G-Q mobile monitoring. N8KBP.
N8IAJ, monitoring.
Where were you, Dave?
Over here.
ZKF, maybe 8 p.m.
Yeah, I see. Well, maybe it's... Thank you.
KRD. Somebody keeps keying up and isn't saying anything. N1KRD. NASD, NASD, NAA, NAHSD, this is KAA, VAO. NAASD, this is KAA, VAO, mobile.
KFA-EWF, radio check.
KFA-EWF, this is KC and ZBC. I hear you, Trevor, but you're a little low audio. The audio is a little bit low, that's all. As you're talking, there's a little bit of static crashing happening in the background, too. It's kind of fading in and out, so I'm not sure what that is right now. The weather, I think, is pretty clear. I'm not sure what that is. What I'm hearing you is your voice is low, but the static is like coming in and out like a wave, like it would during a storm or whatever. It just comes in a little bit, then it goes out. When it fades out, you're fine, but it fades in enough so it will actually wipe out your audio altogether. Okay, KC-ZBC clear. I'm also on our simplex frequency.
Hey, KFA-EWF, radio check.
This is KC-8ZBC, I hear you.
Okay, when I was on here the first time, I was on my 50-watt mobile. Now I'm on my handheld with the 40-watt amp.
And I think your audio was still a little low from what I'm used to, but the static is gone.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it would be any different, except for the fact that I'm probably screaming like a fire.
Okay, thank you, Trevor. I'll take that back. That last time the static came in, it's weird. The static is not constant. It's like a crash that comes in. At least that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, that seems to be consistent with what we checked before and with the guys yesterday when I checked in for the computer.
Have a mag mount antenna? I would try your HT in the car on your mag mount or something like that. Just kind of get rid of your antenna on the house and see if it makes any difference.
I could try that, but I could just walk outside with my HT.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if you just use your HT with a mag mount antenna. The HT antenna probably won't make it to the repeater, but if you did a mag mount antenna or something, that might give you a little bit more.
Well, I could pull my car out and try that, but it would only do the 8 watts on the antenna.
Yeah, that's worth a try. Just, I guess, my thought is to see if that, even if you had a weak signal, to see if that crashing goes away.
Okay, let me try that. Give me a few minutes.
KC-8ZBC, clear. Also, we can try it, simplex on UHF later if you want to.
Yeah, that sounds good. KFAWF, sir.
This is KCAZBC. I'm hearing you clear. Okay, I got a little bit that came in then, but you were better than you were before. It was a little bit of a buzzing noise that came on the end of that one. That shouldn't be that. It's like toward the tail end of your transmission, I hear like an electrical buzz. Okay, I'm on my base station here about 50 watts. That was clear that time.
Only hearing the receive side of the signal check over here on the West Bloomfield repeater, N1KRD.
Whoever came in there, I didn't catch all that.
I'm listening here on the West Bloomfield repeater, only hearing your audio, not hearing the other station that's trying to check their radio. Not sure if that's a repeater issue or they're just coming in on the input or going simplex with you or what. N1KRD.
Okay, thanks for that information. I'll let them know. KCAZBC clear.
Where can I buy a half dozen juicy kumquats?
That's a silly question. At the kumquat store, of course.
I can't remember. Are those real hard? They look like little apples. They're hard. They're kind of peppery. Or are those... I'm trying to remember what a kumquat is. I can't remember.
I have no idea. I know I've heard of them. I've probably seen them, but I cannot make the connection at this time.
I would say you're a flea market. Well, I don't think they're particularly juicy. I remember as a kid, I think my dad had a kumquat bush. It was thorny, and it made these hard little apple, kind of wrinkly apple-like fruits, and they were edible, but they kind of had a almost a peppery kind of a quality to them. We used to use them just, because we were hoodlums, we used to just pick them and throw them at cars.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they are, but it's fun to say anyways. So if you're going to be around, Sean, or if anybody else is going to be around in about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, I'm hope to have been equipment back in, and I'll be looking for some audio level checks.
Yeah, within the hour, I should be home. I should be on my base. I should be able to listen to the repeater directly. I should be able to switch back and forth between network and repeater and node, and should be able to give you the full gamut of attention.
That's great. I only like to deal in gamuts.
That's right. So, we got you covered. Tom?
I'm 86 miles and met like Vincent Joe's or Randazzo's. Trying, what's that other place? That other food place.
Savaggio?
Yeah, Nino Savaggio. Come quite, I think, it's some flavor fruit. Me personally, they're nasty. I tried one. So, I think that's probably why you threw them in cars when you were a kid. But, try that. When you're at, Little Caesars Arena, I gotta try to figure out a way to beat them.
Oh, I've already moved on. I'm now looking for juicy, delectable, in-season durians.
Okay, I've never heard of that one. What is it?
Well, I don't know for sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I know where I can get them, though. I'm going to have to go to the Asian market. It's a big... I don't know what you call it. It's almost a melon kind of a type fruit, I guess. And I've seen them use it as a meat substitute. They have a reputation for stinking. I don't know much about it. It's a Southeast Asian fruit. It's large like a coconut, but I think it's a lot softer. I think it's got a big prickly outer hood, you know, that you got to break off to get to the fruit. I that's about all I can tell you.
Yeah, like I said, never heard of it. But there's some strange fruits out there. When I was in Costa Rica, a pink pineapple in a tree.
Were they pink on the outside, or is the flesh pink on them?
The outside was, and somebody said it's also pink on the inside. I've never seen the inside of one.
That's what my Uncle Chester used to say. It's all pink on the inside. But we are quick moving into uncharted territory. I tried, what was that other one I tried recently? Passion fruit, is that what it is? They come in different, they got white, pink, and different colors. And I tried that, and it was kind of like nothing. It was bland and didn't have a lot of flavor. Looked pretty. Had kind of a melon kind of a texture to it.
Okay, didn't stir any passion with you. Okay. Let's see, we had a lot of papaya and cassava. They were serving cassava juice a lot in Costa Rica. That's really good. So, alrighty, let's see. Alright, I'm just about at this site. I got waiting for Dave to show up, and we'll get working on this thing. And hopefully it will be louder.
Okay, we shall, like I said, it'll be probably, well, if I make a stop, I may make a stop on the way home. I'll be home anyhow within the hour. I should be in a position to help you out, so catch you then.
Excellent. All right, catch you later. AB Pierre.
WAFU.
How's your day going, John?
Not too bad. On my way home. I was supposed to get off early yesterday, and I didn't. I didn't get off quite as early as I wanted today, but did get off a little early, so I am on my way home, and all in all, going good. No progress on the other thing, the other project. I've got parts coming in for the controller, so they're supposed to come in tomorrow, so I probably won't get any much progress done on it tomorrow. I don't know. But I gotta wait for these SSDs to come in before I can get the server up and running, and then once I got that done, then we can start barreling forward. I'll try to knock out a little bit on the receivers, but we'll see.
Okay, no hurries, no worries. So progress is taking time. So I had to screw up a little bit too. Junior's at a project in Ann Arbor. Evan had to go get something done or something like that, so I broke loose from work today, and I had to go grab the grandkids from his little school, and I'm taking over to my house, and I'm not sure what we're going to watch, but we're going to do something. So I took them out to eat. One had hash browns. The other one had a Mickey Mouse pancake. You know, Grandpa had some soup. All in all, nice afternoon, and I wasn't working for a while, so it made it well worth it.
That sounds like a good deal, if you ask me, any day of the week. So, alrighty. And no, I was just kind of letting you know, because I have kind of had that on my to-do list. It was kind of like something I still want to get knocked out this week, but I should have been realistic, realizing that that part I need isn't coming until tomorrow, and I'll likely be at work when it comes in. So that means I won't get my hands on it until after work tomorrow. I mean, the earliest I could start working on it would be Thursday, and that cuts it kind of short, getting everything done by the weekend. So I don't know, but maybe I was a little ambitious. That's the only reason I mentioned it. Not that anyone cares, but... And there's other stuff, too. There's a whole bunch of other crap Paul and I were talking about it before I left. Got to get going. Got to get working. Oh, man. You know, I got a breakfast sandwich this morning on the way into work. Stopped at McDonald's, just got, like, their sausage biscuit and egg sandwich with coffee. And I am still not hungry. What the heck's up with that, Tom?
Did we cut somebody off?
Well, Tom was in here earlier. Phil and I got talking about the repeaters, so... he may be destinated or whatever, but other than that, just you and I.
Well, in about 1 minute, it's going to be just you, because I'm going down St. Clair Drive, and I'm going to grab the kiddos and drag them into the house. So that'll be the end of it for me for a little bit. I will chat with you sometime later on today. And Tom, if you're back... say hello, my name is Hugh, your short break, and if not, Sean, be careful, NHK baby.
Yeah, I'm here. I was just calling little bit of security so I can get through these gates here, and I'm going to be stepping out to, I go fix some stuff at Google. So 73 to everybody, I'll talk to you later on the KCKG.
Alrighty. I'm going to continue my little drive here. Got a little bit to go, so catch everybody in a while. W8FD.
AFA, VRC, Sean, you still out there?
I am, Jack. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, I'm out of work and on my way home. So that's good. Tomorrow's hump day. So that's good, I guess. I mean, I can't complain, I guess. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's just a little chilly outside. I just was outside for a few minutes, and then wind blowing a little bit.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be warm. I got my lightweight down jacket that I picked up a couple of months ago, and I find it's really warm. Deceptively warm, so it's pretty good for this. This is about as warm as I'd like to wear it, but it does pretty good. This is kind of, you need a jacket, you know, you don't really need a coat, you just kind of need a jacket. But if you're going to be sitting out, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I wouldn't sit out in this weather. Anyhow, John, this morning I was on Richmond, and I can hit it where my house is, Richmond and Repeater. The FBI one.
Yeah, that repeater has an incredible ears and works really well for where it is. I'm quite pleased with how that one worked out. And there's plenty of room for improvement on that one as well, which is the real crazy part.
It is, and that's the first time I'm hitting. I mean, look how far I'm from Richmond. I'm way far from Richmond.
Yep. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, it's not one I'd recommend you use all the time, but, yeah, that one, I have handheld, you know, we've got a Romeo repeater, and if you're running around with a handheld Romeo, you can work the Richmond just as easy as Romeo.
Yeah, I've been on a Romeo, but it doesn't do no good. Anyhow, that 442-5000, which is in West Bloomfield somewhere in there, I could reach it from here, too. I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's Phil's machine, Phil from Breakfast. He owns that one, and he's working on it right now as we speak.
I didn't know until I woke up this morning. I said, let me try if I can reach West Bloomfield repeater, and I did.
Yeah, you're kind of in a good spot right there. Oh, man, you should be able to work Romeo, too, but that's the problem with the repeater, not you. So, or something up there. I can't quite put my finger on it. That repeater has worked better in the past, and so something's just not right there. Need to address it at some point, but not real happy with what we're getting out of that one. It should be doing better, but anyhow, that's neither here nor there. So you got three of the four. Good for you. Can you hit the Lapeer VHF and Mayville or the Flint repeater? And probably not. That's over the hill for you.
No, I have not tried Flint or the other ones. I have not tried that, but I don't even know the numbers on those repeaters. And I just hit this morning. I was surprised. The West Bloomfield one, it came in, and I had a radio check from there, too. I asked him, he said he's sounding good, but a little bit low. That's all he's saying.
Well, there you go. We like to put up machines that have ears that can hear pretty well. So you're in a good spot. You know what I would like to cover though is Northia. You go Northia a little ways, it starts to get weird, and it's like all of my repeaters have trouble in that area. You just get about 4 or 5 miles Northia there. So. Something I've been meaning to address, I just don't quite know how. I hoped that Romeo would have addressed that, but it didn't. So that's probably my biggest disappointment with the network at this point, which is not, you know, a big disappointment, but it is the biggest of the disappointments.
Maybe you can switch them between the Richmond and Romeo?
Well, it's going to be they've got the exact same antenna. I've got brand new hardline at Richmond. I've got ancient hardline at Romeo. I'm thinking maybe new antenna, new coax at Romeo might be the ticket. But that's a lot of work, and going to have to figure out how to make that happen. I've got lift trucks that can go up so far, but you know, can't get up to 150. That's a little hard. But I think it's coax and antenna. So unless you want to go up, I can get you a climbing belt. Jack to the rescue.
You know, Sean, you're right, but I have not done that and 25 years ago, I used to do that. I used to climb the 10-story building and all that, but I have not done that.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I'm horrible when it comes to heights. I don't even work. Even when it's safe, I get freaked out by heights. I can't even watch things on YouTube, like people doing crazy stuff at heights. I just can't deal with it. It creeps me out. So I don't know if I could learn to get over it. I think I've tried. I don't know if I tried hard enough, but well. Anyhow, Jack, I'm just about to my next stop here. I'm going to stop in the store here and grab something. I'll be out for just a minute after I leave the store because I'm almost home.
Hi, Sean. Good talking to you. We're here again. W-8-F-U-K-F-A-D-R-C. Clear.
All right, Jack. We'll talk to you a little later. W-8-F-U.
KF8DRC from KF8CWF, Jack. This is Brian.
Well, good afternoon, Brian. I didn't hear you a long time ago.
I got in the truck. I've been listening to you and Sean. Just waiting for a minute to ask for a quick sound check on this little antenna I got stuck on the side of my truck.
Well, you're doing good. Excellent audio. It sounds like, like me and you were sitting on that restaurant on Saturday. Roger.
Yes, sir. I just tried to call somebody. I knew I wasn't going to do that good of a job, but I really did a horrible job on Sunday trying to get a message to somebody after I left the bowling alley, and I said, I got to do something. So I got this little thing that takes the antenna and sticks it out the window. Like I said, first time using it, just wanted to check it out.
Oh, Brian, you know that anytime. I'm always had, monitor this one here, the FBI, and also 625. So, but I don't have all the radios, and that's why I couldn't get on Sunday night round table or the net for the Hazel Park because I don't have all my radio, and that's all I have, this one here, the handheld.
Well, I managed to make it into the round table, but I was at 12 Mile in Van Dyke and had a heck of a time trying to get into the net, so I figured I'd try this thing.
Well, Brian, you're doing good. You're really doing good, so whatever you did it the right way.
Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Sean, and how are you?
Oh, not bad. I just made a quick stop at the store. Now I'm just a minute from home, but I thought I'd say hello. And, yeah, your signal's good. I'm assuming you're in the Warren. Signal's good into the system, and audio sounds just like you. It might be just a tad low, but not a problem. But I just wanted to say hi before I get to my destination here.
Yeah, well, the low audio is probably this Motorola speaker mic I got that I'm using with my Anytone. It's just the only one I got that's halfway decent, so until I get something better. I don't want to be caught with the radio, the HD to my mouth by a cop, so I use this for now.
It's better stay in mobile.
I think it was ZSK, and yeah, no problem. Just like I said, just might just be a little bit low, but you're fine. All right, I have got to the house here. I'm going to pass it over to, I think it was ZSK, and I'm going to catch you guys in a bit. W8FU.
73 from KD8ZSK in the mobile.
All right, Jack. I thank you for your time. I'm going to go ahead and clear out. I'm almost to the house, and I got to get ready to go bowling this evening. KF8CWF, I'll be standing by on your final.
Alright, just heard you guys jump in the car. I'm leaving work, but good to hear you. So, haven't heard much activity in the afternoon. 7:30 from KD8ZSK.
Keith, I just want to say hello, and I got to jump out. I just pulled up at home. I'm going to jump out of the car, but I just want to make sure I said hi. W8FU.
Very good. Hope you're doing well, and sorry I didn't make it out to interoperability this year, and neither did anybody from Wayne County, but hope you're doing well. We'll have to catch up sometime. KD8ZSK.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a little bit more involved with our ARPSC group up here, Paul and the boys, and helping them out with some stuff. So we'll probably bump into one another in that realm at some point. So, all right, catch you later. Travel safe. W8FU.
Hey, W8FU. Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, Paul and Mike and Ron, they're all working together to pull a team back together out there. So that's all good, and you know, we got the simulated emergency test coming up on May 3rd, I think it is. First Saturday in May. Good reason to collaborate across county lines, you know. 7:30 from KD8ZSK.
KF8DPZ with a fresh mobile install. Good afternoon, everyone.
Well, Brian, you take care. I gotta get something to eat. And we'll talk later. KF8DRC.
And take him from here.
KF8DGZ. Jack, you still out there?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Jack, Phil. Talked to you the other night about your antenna. Finally got my numbers, my call sign, so was just testing out. I heard you on here and was, wanted to see if I had everything programmed right and how it was getting through.
Oh, you're doing excellent here. You're really doing good. Roger.
That's good to hear. Did you say you were on the, Richmond repeater?
No, negative. Not right now. I'm on the Warren repeater now. But this morning I was on Richmond.
Copy that. Yeah, I'm just heading down to my son's lacrosse game, so I switched over. I'm on Warren also. Figured it'd be a good time to test it out and see how things were going.
How do you like the antenna?
I didn't end up getting it yet. I was I had an old just a cheap Nagoya, I think it's 72, I think. Figured I'd did some tests to see how that was gonna work out for right now until I get that other antenna ordered that you were talking about. But it seems like, from what you said, it's working pretty good right now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're doing good. There's a little bit of crackling, that's all. Maybe because you're driving.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't want to keep you. I know you're getting ready to get something to eat or something before I chimed in. So, just wanted to reach out and say hi.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. Anytime you like. All right, I'm going to get going here a little bit. KF8DRC.
Copy that. We'll talk to you, Jack. KF8DTC. Clear.
KF8DTZ to KF8DRC. Still there, Jack?
Yes, go ahead. KF8DRC.
Doing fine on this afternoon. I've been out here in the cold for the past hour or so, finishing hooking up this brand new mobile. How does it sound?
Sounding good. and it got a little bit of hum. I don't know what that is, but that's all I heard.
So there was a bit of a background hum to it?
Yes, that's what it is. And I'm over here in Rochester Hills.
I copy that. I'm in Clinton Township. I'm hitting the Mount Clemens repeater right now. I'm going to switch over to the Warren one real quick and see if that changes anything.
Go ahead.
All right, Jack, here I am. Peter, how's that one doing?
Do me a favor, get it to like five count, one, two, three, all the way to five. I want to hear it really good.
Okay, copy that. One, two, three, four, five.
Okay, your audio is good and everything, but it fades out just a little bit.
Copy that. Is that hum still there by any chance?
Yes, it's still there. And I don't know what it is. I think the repeater or... I have no idea what that is.
Alright, copy that. It might be coming from my truck. Because like I said, this is a fresh mobile install that I just got done hooking up. So I'll probably look into throwing a filter cap on the power line or something like that.
Oh, you know what? Try back later and see what happens. It might change
it. Copy that. That's a good idea. I'm going to get back on out of here, Jack. By the way, my first personal is Cliff, C-L-I-F-F, and you know me on the other side is 805.
Oh, I got you. Now I know who you are. Anyhow, how you doing today?
A little happier now that I got this mobile installed, and a bit warmer because I'm sitting in my truck and my hands aren't frozen.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right, Cliff, I'm gonna let you go. We're clear on your final. This is KFA DRC.
Be that, Jack. Thanks again. This is KFA DBZ. Clear.
KFAS.
What's going on?
Not much. I heard you call out and I tried to split over and then my phone is acting weird. Yeah, fine. I'm not near my radio. Otherwise, I'd go on the radio.
If you're on the phone right now, you got packet loss.
Hold on. I will find my radio. One second. 10
ADBF, standing by.
There we go. KFAS.
Oh my god, that's better, sorry. Just sneezing my brains out.
Yeah, the Cisco phone's on Wi-Fi, and then the node that it was talking to is on Wi-Fi, and it's like a big message of things I shouldn't be doing. But it's an experimental phase, so when it's an experimental phase, things aren't connected properly.
I'll have to check my server room. I think I'm going to play hooky tomorrow, maybe Thursday, and see if I've got one of those laying around. I know I've got some cordless SIP phones somewhere.
Yeah, see, if you want to play phone, you should go get a hams over IP account. I can give you that information, or you can go look on our Telegram thing, or you can go Google it. But if you get an extension there, then they give you like a login to their server, and then you can, one of your lines on your phone, you can configure for that, and then if you decide you're going to goof around with your All-Star node via mini PBX,
you can have that as like the second, you know, line or extension or whatever.
So is this just some dude running a PBX on a server somewhere?
So the hams over IP, they host a server somewhere. I have no idea where. I'm going to guess it's in England because every time the England guy answers. But, it's usually the typical thing. You got some people who do PBX work and their day job, and then they decide, you know what, hey, we can hook up a PBX system. And it's just for hams. You have to, have a license, and you have to, get it verified and all that fun stuff, just like any other system for hams. And then the whole purpose is that, you can dial other hams, or some of them have, bridges into, all-star nodes. And then you can, it's a way you can connect in that way. And that way you don't have to do much setup other than, set up with them. And then, Sean's got the FBI on it, and then I've got, the Who Cares Hub is on, there's an extension you can dial for that as well, and stuff like that. So, but, yeah, I know you like playing radio and not phone, but it's like a backup system. We have conference bridges and all kinds of stupid stuff that we occasionally use. And then it's like a nice little bat phone. Instead of us having to know everybody's cell phones, we just dial their extension.
So this is like All-Star without the pie.
Yeah, yes and no. Yeah, it's just a phone system. But, All-Star is using Asterisk on the back end. There's a module called apt-rpt, which is tapping into it. So imagine you didn't have apt-rpt, and you were just hooking your phone up. So that's with the All-Star thing. But with the hams over IP thing, I don't think they're using, I don't know what they're using on their back end, but it's similar. There's a PBX system or something going on.
Well, if I have one in the server room, I'll dabble, but I'm not, I'm not too keen on any more digital voice over IP stuff than I have to be.
Yep, I get it. Yeah, if you happen to have something laying around that's compatible, then, you've already got it. It's free. It's just sitting around doing nothing. I've got the GroundWire app on my phone, and I use that more than anything. And then I've got I've got that GrandStream Wi-Fi phone that I occasionally use if I don't want to tie up my cell phone.
I have, I've got some IP horns that are SIP capable.
That's what they are, right? As long as you can get into the configuration of them and point a SIP address or a UDP, it's just a UDP port 5060 or whatever to something.
Yeah, I haven't set up one of those in a while, but that's all it is. You just got to put the right address in.
I've never done telephony or, network. We had guys dedicated to that. I was not in that department. So all this stuff was kind of shiny new toy to me. So for me, it scratched the itch. I've never done this before. I think for something like this where you've done it before, you probably don't want to get anywhere near it.
I'm pretty sure that's my biggest factor, my subconscious of being like, dude, no, you've done this. Don't go back down that rabbit hole. Because I've learned a lot of this stuff, not, this exact variation, but VoIP is VoIP for the most part, so I've dealt with a lot of it.
Yeah, Beta. Yeah, the thing is that's what Asterisk is. They're the All-Star, and, it's really just repeaters slapped on, repeaters can interface with the phone system is really what it is, but it's not really, it's IP phones or whatever. The codec is ULAW or whatever, or G, whatever the other one is. I don't know other things, but it's the codec is the same as the telephony, so that, you know, it goes over the wire or over the internet. It's in that format that's already commonly used.
I'm all for the tinkering and the shenanigans. That's what ham radio is there for. So I'm not dogging it by any means. I just, like I said, I've done my fair share of VoIP and SIP enabled devices, conference room phones, all that stuff. So I don't want it to be like work, you know, that kind of thing. Especially I want to go RF. But yeah, no, if I've got a phone, I'll dabble with it, get it set up. Like you said, it's like you guys are using it, but for me, it would be like a get the T-shirt kind of thing.
Yeah, it's mostly like all the other things that we play with. It's like you set it up and then you forget about it. It just sits in the corner. And that's pretty much how mine was. I configured it once, played with it for a week, and it kind of just sat in the corner, and it's available for use. I don't have to do anything. I had to go and reset my whole phone, though, because I forgot the password for it. Like, I don't know what password I use. So I had to do a factory reset on it, and I haven't put my hands over IP back on it. I just have my link into my All-Star node. That's the only thing I've got configured at the moment.
Speaking of setting it up and forgetting about it, you know what really grinds my gears and I need to figure out how to move along is all my mesh tasking equipment that is just rotting in a drawer now.
Yeah, I still got mine hooked up, and it's like hiding upstairs, and it's like hooked up to a Pi. I've got like a Pi head on it, and now they've got proper Debian repositories for it. So it's like apt-get upgrade. You got new version of Mesh-tastic, so it's just kind of, I don't have to do anything with that one, or, you know, very low maintenance. But what I do have to do is update my individual devices that I want to use. I only use that little credit card thing, that seed thing, but I haven't charged it in a while, so I'm pretty sure it's dead, battery-wise. But that's what I was using as my client. It looks like a name badge thing, type of thing, or a security badge, and I would just, like, carry it around with me and hooked up to my phone, and occasionally it would chirp when somebody sends a message.
Yeah, what reminded me was when I was putting that fan in my 2730 last night. I bought a bag of JST connectors, and I can't remember if they were 1 1/4 or if they were the 2s, and of course they were the wrong size, but I opened that drawer, I'm like, oh boy, there's my T-Deck, there's my Echo, the aftermarket antennas, and then downstairs I got, the rack was in there, and then downstairs I got my T-Beam. Dumped a lot of money into that little experiment for not a lot of gain, but like we said, we got the T-shirt, we learned it, it was cool, but I didn't think it was going to be, it wasn't replacing anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a new project called MeshCore or whatever. I'm not sure where that one's going, but that guy in Ringchester, England or whatever, I don't know. I know these names. Like, I've seen these names, but I don't know where they are. Manchester or Ringchester or something like that. Well, you know what I'm talking about. That one guy that makes all the videos, Andy Kirby or whatever. Anyways, they're playing with MeshCore now over there, in addition to the Mesh-tastic. And so I haven't followed that. I don't know where the project is. It's only on so many devices. But supposedly it does better routing. It's more intelligent about the routing and is able to do things a little bit better than Mesh-tastic. But haven't been following it. Don't even know if it could go anywhere. It's wait and see. So maybe hold on to one or two devices and see what happens in the future.
Ringway Manchester and Andy Kirby. I like Ringway Manchester because he does a lot. I mean, they both do a lot of ham radio stuff. Andy Kirby, from the videos I've watched, he seems to be more in the niche side of things.
But Ringway Manchester, he does a lot of the pirate signals, and he does a lot of listening, so I think his was a little more appealing. Makes me miss my 705, because that seems to be his primary rig for this stuff. But, it's not like I'm going to be able to sell them and get any of my money back, so they're just going to sit in the drawer, and who knows, maybe they'll be useful at some point.
And if you're looking for a good receiver, I mean, you've got the PortaPack. You can hook that up to your computer and use it as an SDR. That might be one way to do it. If you're looking for something a little bit more portable, those ATS-25s, the latest one is ATS-25 Amp. They're under $100, and they have like a little waterfall display on it and all that stuff. And it's got decoders and all kinds of crap, built-in battery. So maybe that would, you know, if you're looking to just do some shortwave listening and just want a waterfall and be a little bit portable, like a 705, then that one's pretty good.
Hindsight's always 20/20, but if I had my 705, I could have one radio on my desk and do everything I wanted.
This is true, and I do take my 705 and use it for shortwave listening, so you just got to hook up, an antenna to it. I got one of those banana plug BNC connector things, and you can just put a wire on it and make a makeshift receiving antenna.
I bought two of those when I had my 705 for that exact reason and never even opened them. They're still in my parts bag to make an antenna. So, I don't know. I'm hopeful ICOM's going to refresh that thing soon, but it doesn't seem like they're in any hurry to refresh anything.
Yeah, I mean, from their perspective, they probably got all these spare parts and everything. So it's like, well, we're just going to keep on going with the 705 because it's easy to, you know, if somebody needs to repair something, we got parts. And if they come out with, they are probably working on the next design. It's just like, you know, their cycle is like years, not, months. They're not like the Chinese where they come out with a new HT every 5 days.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how many, I'm sure Bofang isn't the parent company, but whatever the parent company of those are, I'd be curious to see how many part numbers they have.
And the latest one is every one of these radios is using those SI7, I can't remember the number, it's SI73 something chip. I mean, every radio that you see, from shortwave radio listening to some of these new HTs like the Quanshang, and then they're all using the same chip, even that ATS-25 that I mentioned.
So it added more functionality, but is the receive any better for the traditional tri-band?
I didn't hear the whole question. You're asking if the receive better because of that chip or what?
Yeah, like all these Chinese radios, they all use the same SoC, so since they came out with this new version where it's got the short band capability, or the sideband capabilities, short band, I'm on the short bus today, is the UHF-VHF receive and transmit any better?
I heard a breaking station. I'll get to you in a moment here. But yeah, I think it's just for the shortwave listening. I don't know if it's actually the UHF-VHF, but for the shortwave listening, that's the chip that it uses. And it's decent. It's okay, but it's not the best. And a lot of the gimmicks now with the newer Bofangs and such, they're putting like DSP filtering, like audio filtering. So when you listen on UHF-VHF, it's kind of like what the new Yaesu radio they're doing. They're like filtering, trying to filter out the static in the background a little bit and make your voice a little bit more apparent. So, is there a station out there? I saw somebody key up on Bloomfield. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, ABAPR. Just working with Sean here to check an audio level, if you wouldn't mind for a second. Sean, you there?
Oh, yeah, which one do you want me on?
Yeah, just compare this with the direct over the air. Testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Does it sound the same as did before on your note?
Let me hear Dakota. He was the loudest of the bunch. Dakota?
Well, that's nothing new. I forgot the call, but it does sound a little faint, a little low. But it's crystal clear, but volume seems a little low.
Yeah, for some reason you're pretty low through the repeater here, Phil.
Okay, let me get into simple tune here and adjust it again here. So that would be, let's see here, number 2. Let's change. Yeah, I can see on the display it's a little low. Let me bump that up to testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. I don't know. Is that any better?
Boy, no, not really. Hold up before you do too much, because you were sounding fine to my note, and I don't know why you're not sounding good here. Are both you guys on the repeater directly on the 2.6? Dave?
Going in through my all-star note at the moment. Dakota's on RF to the 2600.
You sound much lighter on the live over the air, too.
So we're getting a C on the .6. It's real low.
All right, let me hear it again, Phil.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3. I can see the display. Wait a minute. Let me. I need to bump it up quite a bit here. Let me try. Try this. Testing 1, 2. That didn't make much difference. Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh, there we go. How's that? And that might be too much.
No, I don't think so. Let's go to the loud guy on frequency, Dakota.
My bad, I doubled with you. Back it down a bit, but that came up big time, so you're right in the sweet spot, a little tiny bit.
All right, how's this? Testing 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to say let's keep it there and let it roll for a few and just listen.
All right, this I can always change remotely, so I can play around with this later. All right, thanks, guys. I'll let you carry on. Check out the 2.5, see if you should be hearing it a lot better now. All right, ABAPR, thanks, guys. Go ahead, Dave.
It came up a little bit louder on the on All-Star as well. I mean, I could hear a difference, but very cool. I don't even know what we're talking about. We're just kind of rambling. So, go ahead, Dakota.
For what it's worth, you and Sean had almost identical volumes of levels. Jesus. You guys had almost identical volume. I need to go to bed. Sean, are you RF or are you on node?
I think pretty much for everything here, I've been on direct on RF.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, you both sounded about the same, so I think he's got it pretty close. Anyway, Dave, we were talking about the new SOCs, and you said that you don't think they really improved anything. They just added the sideband.
Well, I think the radios are getting a little bit better. They are not putting as much spurs out there unless you go off of the bands that they were intended to go on, you know. So if you're buying a radio and it says it's a 2-meter 70-centimeter radio, if you stick to those, it's fine. If you start going off and, like, I'm going to use this as a CB, and, you know, because they're wide, like, they can go anywhere between, like, 18 and, like, 620. If you stay on the frequencies you're supposed to be, the radio works fine. But the moment you start trying to go on CB, you got, like, spurs going off here and there and all that crap.
Yeah, and they don't care about the emissions. They don't have to abide by them. Well, didn't the FCC say something about they've got to
get a part number or whatever, or is that just hearsay and there's really nothing they can do about it?
Oh, yeah, they have to zoom and crack it down a little bit on it, but sometimes what they do is they put, like the radio gets tested under a different, well, the part number or whatever gets tested under another thing, so they use that as their origin. You know, they'll put it in different radios or whatever. But a lot of times the radios are locked when you get them. They're locked to the 2 meter and the 70 centimeter unless you know the code, or unless you find out the code and then you can unlock them. But most out of the box, they're usually locked down until you, go in there and mess around, or, you know, so the people that kind of don't know, I mean, the people that aren't trying to hack it, right, they're just going to use it as normal, and I think the FCC seems to be happy with that, and they give them a little certification.
That makes sense. They're compliant for the intended use, and then you're at your own risk when you start modifying them after that fact. I don't know what radio you're on, but you almost sound overmodulated, like you're somewhat distorted. I don't know if that's me or if that's your radio or what, but it's a little funky.
Not just you, Dakota.
Sure, it sounds like there's a man between him and the plane
okay.
Talking through it.
You know if I need to adjust my radio.
You got some sort of weird network thing, I think, going on there, Dave. Give it the old reboot.
How do I sound directly on the UMP?
That sounded golden to me.
Alrighty, I'll just do this for now, then.
Which radio is that?
Go ahead, Anthony. I'm switching antennas, so go ahead and take a few turns.
What's going on, Dakota? I just got in the car, heard you guys chatting, so figured I was going to let you guys go, but jumped in when you made comments about sound of Dave. K8RUH.
Hey, yep. How's it going, man? I'm just making my way home, about 5 minutes. I think I've made the executive decision that I'm going to but I'm just not going to go in tomorrow. Work a little bit in the morning from home and then take the day. Mental health day, that's what they say.
Does that mean that you're scouting tomorrow afternoon also?
Well, I did text a couple of the farmers and asked if there was anyone poking their heads out yet, so I may be driving around doing some groundhog scouting and turkey scouting at the same time, and I may or may not have a rifle.
Very nice. That sounds like more fun than being at work, that's for sure.
I think since my last two, quote, days off got botched, and I ended up working from home anyway, I think I could swing that and not feel too bad about it. Well, their CEO's out of town for the week, so dad's away, the kids will play.
There you go. It sounds like fun. I wish I was doing something fun tomorrow instead of going to work, but I'll be at work like every other day.
Don't worry, I'm sure it'll snow or rain or something catastrophic will happen and I'll not be able to do anything I plan on doing on my day off. So, it is what it is. Dave, how are we doing over there? We got a new antenna on?
Yep, we're, cool, I hear myself. Yep, we're on an external antenna, so it should be solid, I hope.
Sounding much better.
Yep, you're good. The only noise I hear is on my end because I'm in town.
Yep, it's a good old 2x4 on top of an electric box.
Hey Dakota, that 2730 that you just picked up, did that come up with? Did that come with the hardware to mount the face to the body of the radio, or is it two separate pieces?
No, I could pick ICOM's marketing director in the genitals because it came with literally nothing. It came with the plate, the body, the face plate, and the remote install cable. No mounting anything, no magnet, no nada. The 5100 Deluxe at least comes with the plate. This didn't come with anything, so then I had to spend another $51 for the plate that screws into the back of the face that allows you to clip it to the body. You know, like the normal way to use a radio that apparently ICON doesn't care about.
Okay, that's what I figured. That's how mine came, and I was just curious because now you got me considering buying one and doing something with it, but I don't know if I'm going to.
More toys, more toys. Yeah, it seems like a good radio. I mean, your microphone on that ICOM, Dakota, sounds really, your audio coming through there sounds really good when you're on it at home.
Like I said, I've never been disappointed with an ICOM radio other than how they market and sell these things. They're the Apple of the radio world. Like, oh, well, it'll work, but if you want it to be convenient, you have to pay this much more. And I guess you get what you pay for, maybe, after my experience with Yaesu, and I'm really excited to judge the new Kenwood coming out, but, like, come on, man. Like, this is just an analog dual-band radio, and you're not even going to make it so I can attach it to the face or the body. Like, that seems a little low, in my opinion. But, yeah, Anthony, you have it, right? It's the exact same radio, just a different display. I think the display looks incredible. I love the dark background with the white lettering and numbering. I'm just excited I got that crossband set up because it gives me an excuse to A, use RF, and B, keep using the Kenwood that's covered in dust.
Yeah, I definitely. I have the A version, and I love it. Maybe I'll go through some of my stuff and sell some ADTs and some other stuff that I have, and see if I can wrangle up some cash and buy it.
Or at least wait until Dayton, because they're gonna probably discount everything on their website.
Good call.
Yeah, I'd say you've got some time. I think pre-orders were like January, early February, and then it came out end of February. So it's only been out for a minute here, and I'm sure it'll we'll start doing the manufacturer rebates like they usually do. I don't know how much, but $50 is $50, and I still think $349 is an okay enough price. I think it's fair. It is a very good radio, but. For the money, you can probably get a radio that does more from another manufacturer. But so far, very happy with it. I love my ICOM stuff.
Yeah, I just like it. It'd be nice to have a duplicate of something that I already have. I'm very familiar with it. And, don't have to recreate the wheel. So, we'll see. But I'm not rushing out to buy it. Like you guys said, there's a chance we'll see some manufacturer rebates. I'll wait a couple months to save $50.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that thing was down to like 300 or whatever during the Dayton thing. Well, I mean, Christmas price, it'll probably be 300, but if you've already got the same radio and it's not... It just doesn't have the dark mode display. You pretty much don't need it.
Dave, are you on my wife's side here, or are you on my side? Come on, man.
Oh.
Well, at least sell the other one, unless you're going to use it for something else.
Two is one, and one is none, but Dave's not on either, unless you had a purpose for the other one. All right, I just pulled in the driveway. I got a call coming in. I'll be back out here in a bit or on the node. NADBF, I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Later, Dakota.
Well, you can never have enough radios, that's all I say. And I'm just trying to get you not to make all the mistakes I did with all these radios.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I definitely would need to sell a few things to buy something new. Not that I couldn't come up with the money, but, man, you can only do so much, and I definitely have enough. But, you know, it's always another new shiny object.
Yeah, it's all fun. I mean, that's why we do this stuff. We want to play with different radios and we want to experiment. So. But, yeah, I've got quite the HT collection, so I got way more than I need. But I rotate through them every day. Right now I'm on my Radtel 860. You know what I need to do is put all my radios on, like, a wheel and, like, spin it. And, like, this is the radio I'm going to use today.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I definitely have some I don't know if there's such a thing as too many, but too many HTs and could use a thinning of the herd. But, you know, I keep one on my desk at work, I keep one in my car, I keep one on the counter at home, I keep one on my desk at home. You know, there's just so many uses for them. Keep one in the garage. You got to keep one everywhere.
Because that's right, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is so a lot of times they're not even buying the HT for the HT. It's just I need, like, a new Nagoya antenna or a, you know, 771 antenna, and it becomes like, well, this radio comes with the 771 antenna. It's cheaper than what they're selling the 771 for. I said, well, I might as well get that. So a lot of times these things are for parts.
Yeah, thank God those Redivises aren't still $10 a piece. Otherwise, I'd probably have even more of them than I already do.
Maybe that will be my radio for tomorrow. Well, anyways, these new radios are the new Chinese radios are coming with, like, audio filtering in them now. So they're like, for example, like, if you've got any, like, static or snow on your signal, it kind of, like, lowers it. It doesn't get rid of it, but it lowers the volume of it, and the voice is more magnified. Some people might not like that, though. I wish they did have an on and off button for that, but now they're trying to make, like, your analog signal digital.
Oh, okay. I can see how somebody may not enjoy that, but, you know, the more clarity you have in the voices, which is what you're listening for, you'd think the better. But, hey, everybody has a different ear.
Yepers. All right, I'm going to bow out for a little bit. If Dakota comes back, maybe I'll jump back on in a little bit, too. I'm just going to try to detach myself from work. When you work from home, you kind of, like, have to, like, actually go for a walk or something to kind of transition to home life or whatever you want to call it. So I will chat with you later. I'm going to go get the mail and stuff. KF8S, after you.
Sounds good, Dave. I will talk to you later. I'll try to get on the node this evening. I'm almost pulling into the driveway myself. So I'll catch up with you soon. KE8RUH, and I'll be clear.
KDS8 DTS radio check.
DTA Golf India Oscar, I got you loud and clear.
Thanks for the report. KS8 DTS. WXED testing.
Whiskey 8, Golf, India, Oscar, full quieting.
Got it, thank you very much, 73.
Yeah, you bet, 73 back to you.
KF8DRC, KF8CWF. Jack, you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Jack, is my audio any louder than it was earlier? Jack, this is Brian. I was just wondering. I made an adjustment. I was just wondering if I was any louder. How's this? Is this any better?
Back again.
KF8DRC, WAEAP.
KF8DRC, go ahead.
Yeah, I got your radios done, and we meet up tonight. Yeah, I get all of them done.
Oh, man, you saved my life. I really thank you, and I appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, I'm talking on a 9600 right now.
Sound good. Is the ISS on that 600 too?
Sure is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. I love you, man.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know how to change the power setting on this, though. I forgot. I forgot which button.
the 9600. I don't know if it has that setting or not, like the DB20. The DB20 is very easy. The A and an O change the power setting.
Well, I guess I got to read the instructions.
Yeah, I don't know about that 9600. Because it's digital and analog, so I don't know how. Eric, you still there?
Are there any smokers on frequency?
Hacking darts and breaking hearts.
Are you a cigarette smoker? I have a question.
No, sir. I have not touched a cigarette in many, many years.
Nor have I. Just trying to figure out what the price of a pack of Marlboros would be these days. Just curious.
I'm pretty sure they're like $8.
That's what I thought, but I just went to the store to buy some cigarettes, and I was in shock. They told me how much the carton was. It was 62 or 64, which is typical. That's what I normally buy for this person. But they had coupons for Marlboros, and so I had $2 off a pack of Marlboros times six. So I bought six packs of Marlboros. Well, the whole bill came to like $120, and I'm like, what the hell? How much is a pack of Marlboros? And I have no clue, no frame of reference. It was the first time I've bought anything outside of those cheap ones that I buy normally in years. So I have no clue.
It wasn't $100 for six packs, right? You got more than just cigarettes?
Yeah, well, if you were ever a smoker, you know there was like your like cheap brands. Back in the day, it used to be like Basic. I don't think those are cheap brands anymore. But, you know, then you had your regular premium brands like Marlboro, you know, Cool, Newport, Salem. You know, those were like your regular brands. Anyhow, we're talking about Marlboro here. And then you have your off brands or whatever, your B tier or whatever. I don't know what the hell you even call them. My wife normally smokes this brand called Sonoma. They're the cheapest ones that she likes. And you know, they're usually between $60 and $70 for a carton. So that's 10 packs. So do the math, that's $6 and some odd cents in carton, you know. But the grand total bill was $120. But that included six packs of Marlboros. So I'm trying to crunch the numbers on this, and I'm coming out, unless them cigarettes were $10 a pack, I'm failing to come up with the numbers.
No, that seems high. I feel like the highest I've seen cigarettes is like $8.99. But even if they were $9 and you had a $2 off coupon, that doesn't math.
I bet I can get an answer to this on TMRS.
I got him on crossband and I keyed up too fast. I was laughing. Why is that?
I just bet the ratio of cigarette smokers to non-cigarette smokers is a little higher there.
All right, I'll wager. I think you're correct.
All right, I'm going to go ask. Evaluative.
NADDF, good luck. Sean, I forgot to mention, I don't know if you can even hear me right now, but 48412, looks like the FBI hub, the main one, keeps keying up like every 30 seconds randomly.
K8, are you 8?
Back out about, eh?
I missed that. Who was that?
I don't know if I doubled or not. I said back out and about, eh?
Buddy, for all the wrong reasons. Yes, I'm back out and about. My wife got a flat tire, so I am currently sitting in the Macomb South Campus parking lot because I couldn't get the tire off. The wheel is, like, seized to the axle. So I'm waiting for AAA, which is just fantastic. Just the way I wanted to spend my evening.
I think that was NAKPP. Anthony, if you've got it jacked up and you've got the lug nut off, I don't know if you know what a donkey kick is, but donkey kick the tire and it'll probably break loose.
I have tried about everything, man. I've kicked it. I swung the spare at it. My dad stopped by. We swung a mallet at it. Just about everything possible. So I'm just leaving it to the pros now. AAA is about probably 10, 15 minutes out, and I'll just let them deal with it. I paid for a AAA membership. I might as well get something out of it.
Go ahead, Wally. Maybe I'm hearing things, or maybe I heard them somewhere else. Yeah, that's a bummer, dude. I can't remember what vehicle I had to take the tire off of, but it was... Oh, it was my company car, my old one. I got a flat, and I had to do the same thing, and I jacked it up, and the thing wouldn't come off, and I had to kick the shit out of it.
I definitely think I heard Wally also, but, yeah, it really shouldn't have happened on this car. I mean, got the new tires on it in the fall, so the wheels haven't been on that long, but it is what it is. Wally, if you're out there... Go ahead.
I got it. Yes. Whatever that was. I got it. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's having fun, apparently.
I got it. Yes.
Let's hear it. What's your suggestion?
You get a crowbar, then you go to Home Depot and get your long pipe to put down in there. And I guarantee you'll get it off there. You put a long pipe in there, quote, you know. Your jack handle there, your jack handle, you put it on there, and then you get a long pipe to put it on there, and it'll turn that way, guarantee you.
Yeah, you're right. Leverage is everything. But, like I was saying earlier, I have AAA, so I might as well use it. They're on their way here, so I don't have to break my back.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a better way.
If I was next to a Home Depot, that would have been my first choice.
Yeah, that's why one time I had to help my son. He couldn't get his off. And so I went to a Home Depot, got me a long steel pipe, put it down in there, and he, man, stepped on it, and whoop, and that's all it took.
That would probably make easy work of it. We'll see. I can't wait to see how they take it off. That's for sure.
They probably got a gun. I mean, if you go to AutoZone, they got the gun. They put a battery, and that's Thought they would have got it off too.
Yeah, I got a Glock with me. I thought about shooting it off, but figured it wouldn't work out well for me.
Yeah, that might suck at my Richard chance to shoot it. Shoot. You don't want that.
I'm kidding. I didn't think about shooting it at all. I wouldn't want to have to buy a new tire if I don't have to. Hopefully they can just plug this one. It's practically brand new, about 6 months old.
Yeah, I'll depend on where that that hole is on the side. It can't be fixed. So hopefully it's not on the side, yeah.
You guys are cucks. Cucks carry Glocks.
On High Point.
WJL.
Sounds like there's a comedian out there.
Wondering if I'm hitting the West Bloomfield repeater. Back to you, KFATGG. You hit the double repeater, you double with somebody.
You guys are cucks. Cucks carry Glocks. High points are for fags.
KFA station, you are in and you sound good. Anthony, that there was a double, but it was the station getting a radio check.
Thank you, KFA CGZ here. Yeah, apparently someone's playing games. But I appreciate the radio check. Glad to hear I'm getting into West Bloomfield. So thank you very much for that. NAWJL, hope you're doing well. Just wanted to do a quick radio check. So this is KFA CGZ. I'll be saying 73s and clear.
You guys are cucks. Cucks carry Glocks. High points are for fags.
Did your mom bring you your hot pocket and you can't talk on the radio, so you got to use a computer?
Everywhere they go, it's like a cancer.
You guys are cucks. Cucks carry Glocks. High points are for fags. Your mom gives good head.
I can tell you type 6 words a minute based on the 30-second delay to get that comeback out. Sean, can you see where that's coming in?
Yeah, it's on 2-6.
I called out to you a little bit ago. I'm watching the dashboard. It looks like 48412 just kept keying up like every 30 seconds, like just a key up and then a drop.
No clue. I'm looking at the dash here. It doesn't look like it doesn't look like 48412 has had any traffic since for about an hour.
Triple A here, I'm going to let you guys go. I'll catch up with you later.
The Who Cares dashboard, the 952, whenever FBI is up, 48412 is the one that I see receiving.
All right, we'll see, Anthony. Anthony's checking out.
Bad. Good luck, Anthony. Let me know how they get that thing off.
Anyhow, yeah, so 48412 is the node for nodes, and that 48312 is Richmond, 311's Warren. So you sure it's 412? Because I don't see any activity on 412 at all.
I just texted you a screenshot while you were queued up.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize where you're looking at the lurker over on Dave's dashboard. Yeah, everything's going to come in there, right? Because that's where he's connected. So everything's going to appear like it's coming from there. But where it's coming from on the FBI system, you have to go to the FBI dashboard.
Okay, that makes more sense. That means the lurker is just connected to that one in particular, but that one, the bubble chart, is linked to a bunch of other stuff. Got it. I don't know how to get to the dashboard, but I'm not overly concerned. I just want to let you know that at least once a minute there's a key up. I thought it was me at first, but I don't believe it is.
KFBI.servebeer.com.
The fact that that's actually the domain is amazing.
I was typing it as they chimed in. I figured I'd text it to him. That way he doesn't have to remember it.
All right, I bookmarked this, and I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, if you go to that link, there's four windows. The top window, or node 43732, is the main official public, you know, FBI hub. That's where all the repeaters connect up, things like that. Low power personal hotspots and nodes, I encourage connecting 48412. There was a reason in the past. There's not so much a reason anymore, but personal nodes, I like on FBI HQ. So you'll see people hanging off there with personal nodes. You'll see a window 1990. That's where, like, all your Echo Link and AMS over IP and stuff like that comes in case we get a rogue actor there. We can just disconnect that particular node. We don't have to take down the rest of the system. And then below that, you'll see all the Central Michigan MI1 stuff, which is all connected. So that's what you see there on that page.
I appreciate the explanation. I've never, I don't think I've ever seen this page, but it's impressive to see all this. This is a network, man. It's impressive to see all this laid out.
Right, and you see how under 48412, the second box, that's node 484112, you'll see how WC8MI lurker node is there. That's why you kept seeing 48412 over there, because that's his only connection to all this. So everything has to come through there.
Yep, that makes sense. I was looking at the other end of the dashboard.
Righto. Alrighty, well, I did get an answer to my question, and in fact, they're $10 a pack. Good Lord. So that, but everything adds up now. Now that I know that, I had no clue. All right, I'm going to jump out of here, go get myself a drink, feeling a little raspy, and we'll be back. W8FU.
I am back on the road, Dakota.
Smoke like six packs a day. All right, Sean, I'll catch up with you. NADDF.
NADDF, KE8RU8. Still there?
So how'd they do it, Anthony?
They got it off almost immediately. They laid down and started sledgehammering the back of the wheel on the inside, and in like 2 minutes popped it off. Like it was no big deal.
Well, I'm sure it's definitely not their first rodeo, and it's all about having the right tool for the job.
For sure. Yeah, it was quick and dirty. Perfect. I was happy that they didn't struggle. They had the right tools. Got it done. Now I got to go, hopefully, see if I can find somewhere to check out this tire real quick. Hopefully somebody's open till at least 8 o'clock.
And I'm more than happy to do it for you, but I know this isn't right around the corner.
For sure. It would take me till 7:45 just to get there. So, I'll probably pass 3 tire shops on my way home.
Well, worst case scenario, all the auto parts stores, Walmarts and all that have the plug kits. It's extremely easy to do as long as it's a hole on the tread. All you got to do is get the obstruction out, ream it, and then glue it and punch it. So
it should get you by until you can get it to a shop at least. Or, I mean, God, that last car I had that I had to do it on, I drove probably another 20,000 miles on that.
Yeah, I got a patch kit in my car, so worst case scenario, I'll do that. But I'm not worried about it. My wife doesn't drive that far to work anyway, so she can just roll one day on a spare. No big deal.
Right. I think those are full-size spares, aren't they? Or no, they're not. I don't. Those are the donuts, aren't they?
Definitely a donut.
Yeah, it should be all right. It's just only going a couple miles. My favorite are the people who, like, just drive on a donut. Like, it's, you know, just a different tire. And I used to see the same vehicle or same vehicles quite often in my commutes on a donut.
Oh, yeah. There's people that use donuts like they're standard wheels, that's for sure.
WEAP.
Go ahead, Eric.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just want a quick, how's this thing sound? I'm on Jack's 9600. I had to put a new code plug in it. Does it sound okay?
I think it sounds better than your DB20G. Just kidding. It sounds really good, though.
Yeah, I'm listening to your conversation. You know what I did one time? I pulled a nail out of the tire in one of my Jeeps, and I just screwed a wood screw into it that was a little bit bigger. And I go, I'll get to it. I'll take it to the discount tire tomorrow and get a proper patch for it. I forgot about it. Drove it for like three or four weeks. Didn't lose anything. I just, like I said, I just screwed a big wood screw into it that was a little bit bigger than the hole. I had like a handful of, for some reason, I had some wood screws with me, and they work as a perfect plug. But another side note about those donut tires, I had two flat tires on my Charger one time, and I had to, like, I don't know where I got the donut tires from, but I drove home from up north on the donut tires, and for some reason doing, whoops, timeout timer. I believed the instructions and didn't go over 60. And I was getting 36 miles per gallon doing 60 on that Hemi Charger with those skinny tires.
I guess you look at it that way, there's definitely an upside to these things, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the fact that I was doing 60. I know when I did 60, it went down to four cylinders and it got good mileage. But, man, I don't remember ever being like 35 miles per gallon. That's crazy. And then I attribute it to those skinny tires. And that's one of the secrets about those Priuses. A big portion of why the Prius gets such great mileage, it has such skinny tires and it's really aerodynamic. But yeah, you put regular tires on a Prius and the gas mileage goes to hell.
That would make sense.
Go ahead, Dakota. You doubled.
The new one?
I don't know what new one. I don't know if you're talking about the new Charger, new Prius, but no, I read in an article about those that, like, half the mileage increase, why those get such good mileage is because they're aerodynamic, the way they're shaped and the way, because they have special high mileage tires on them, if that makes any sense, if you ever heard of those before.
Hey guys, I'm pulling into a tire shop here. I'm going to cut you loose, and if they can't help me out, I'll be right back in the car. Otherwise, I'll catch up with you later. KE8RUH. Talk to you soon.
Good luck, Anthony. Eric, I texted you a picture of what the new... I probably cut someone off or doubled again, but the 2025 Prius is what I just sent you. They did a complete redesign.
Okay, catch you later, Anthony, WADAP. Well, actually, I think I come to think of it, some guy at my work that had one, and when he went to get new tires, he was surprised that they're like special high-mileage tires. I know the skinnier tires get better mileage. It's like when you go to a thinner tire on a bicycle, thinner rim and a thinner tire, it's easier to pedal, easier to keep the speed going. But, yeah, I'll look at that link in a second.
Yeah, it really plays a factor when you're talking about headwinds and aerodynamics. That's, I think, why all these newer trucks, they all have the big air dams in the front, and the front end pushed down low, and stupid EPA regulations that are hopefully going to start to go away.
Well, you know, I mean, there's still, I don't think they're going to change the gas mileage of their cars that they want to have good gas mileage. Just that if they take away the CAFE rating or lower the CAFE ratings, and then they can have more muscle cars and more trucks that have less gas mileage. It's CAFE stands for corporate auto fuel economy. But anyhow, yeah, so if they get rid of that or lower that, then they can have more vehicles that get worse gas mileage and still keep the ones that have good mileage. Just add some other vehicles.
Yeah, it's like a game of points. These vehicles are good, these vehicles are gas guzzlers, yada, 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 which I still think it's the dumbest thing ever. I'm not buying a truck because I want good gas mileage, and pretty much all of the auto manufacturers have reduced their, you know, compact and sedan line to next to nothing. So it's like, well, what are you supposed to do?
I mean, you know, you got the cylinder deactivation on the Hemis, which actually works. You know, but it comes at a high cost, though. That's expensive engine management. If they could do away with that, if you didn't care about those extra few miles per gallon, it would knock some of the price down. Because, like I said, that technology, engine management technology, is expensive. And they can definitely do away with the auto shutoff. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, the auto stop start, in my opinion, does, I can't even think what that would do, aside from prematurely wear the flywheel and the starter. My first Silverado I had, it was a 5.3, didn't have the auto stop start, and it had the original GM fuel management where it would go from 8 to 4 cylinders. And then all my Silverados I've had after that, I've only had 5.3 Silverados. All my Silverados after that have the dynamic fuel management where it will go from anywhere from 1 to 8 cylinders depending on what it needs. And it's like, I don't want that. I don't want to pay for that. I'm still convinced that you're going to drop a lifter at some point because it's going to wear out prematurely because you've got, you know, are they getting oil? I just don't buy into that whole thing. I'd rather just have a straight up V8 all the time, and it is what it is.
Yeah, when I've had that cylinder deactivation on some of my vehicles, you can't really feel it. You can't feel it or hear it. But in my Challenger, you can just get the louder exhaust, you can definitely hear it. The engine tone changes. I know exactly when it switches to four cylinders because I can hear the change in the exhaust tone. It doesn't sound as good. It works good, though. I mean, the exact second you touch the gas, you're back up to 8, so it's not like, I mean, it works good. It's just, I mean, yeah, if I take it easy on the highway, it jumps up from, like, 24 to, like, 27. It makes, like, 3 or 4 miles per gallon difference. It does work, but I just don't like the sound of it.
Yep, I agree. I think they started doing that in, what, the Gen 3 Rams? I remember there was one, my wife had one, and I think it was like an inbred wagon. It was like lifted 37 straight pipe to a dump, and it had that fuel management thing, and whenever it dropped down to 4 cylinders, it sounded horrible. It just sounded like a fart cannon.
I'm wondering what those six cylinders, the straight six twin turbo sounds like. I know they put out a hell of a lot of horsepower. They get good mileage. I'm just wondering what they sound like. Because one thing I can't stand about the WRX, the Subaru WRX, is when they put loud exhaust, those things sound horrible. it literally sounds like a V8 that's missing out a few cylinders. The five cylinder, anyhow, those sound terrible with loud exhaust. But I'm wondering what that straight six sounds like. I haven't heard one yet.
I can't remember what generation they switched over. They used to be a 2-liter turbo, and that's when they were just eating motors and pissing oil. And they went to a 2-3 turbo, because I looked at one a little while ago, a couple years ago. This is a commuter vehicle for giggles, and it's like, you guys want 40-some thousand for this? Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm curious about that, too, if you're talking about the RHO. My boss was looking at TRXs and RHOs. He goes, I'm just going to buy a TRX. I'm like, all right, money bags, you do you. But, I don't think anything's going to sound better than that TRX. But I am curious what those RHOs sound like, too. The 354s sound like a complete garbage. I think any Ford actually sounds terrible, especially the 5-liter, but I just hope they don't sound like that. They sound like a weed whacker.
Yeah, the standard straight six turbo, there's a regular and a high output. I think the regular is 420 horse, and the other one's like 530. But they did a test on YouTube, I don't know, one of the auto magazines, and the full-size Ram with that standard six-cylinder turbo did 0 to 60 in like 5.6 seconds. And they were like kind of surprised. They're like, whoa. I forgot what they were comparing it against. What they were comparing it against was like 7 seconds. I don't know if it was a GM or Ford or some other brand pickup with a V8. And they were, like, shocked. They go, this thing feels pretty fast. And I actually put the timer on it. It was, like, 5.6 seconds, 0 to 60. And that's with the standard, not the high output.
Are those single or dual turbo?
W8EAP. No, those are twins.
Yeah, that'll scoot. I'm not surprised. That's kind of... I'm indifferent on that whole thing. I like the power. People that buy these for fuel economy are going to be disappointed, because if those turbos are spooling, you're not getting fuel economy. But the sound is the biggest thing. I just think a V8 sounds better. And in my opinion, forced induction motors are not going to last as long as a naturally aspirated motor. Again, just my 2 cents. I've had two forced induction motor vehicles. One was a 6.7 Power Stroke. That was the biggest pile of garbage I ever owned. And then the other one was a 2-liter turbo Ecotec in a GM car back when I was in college. And I put, I think, 130,000 on that motor, but then, like, I started getting coolant leaks and stuff like that. And I mean, it could be totally unrelated, but I just feel like you're going to get more miles out of a 5.7 or a 5.3 than you are something with a turbo on it.
Yeah, probably right. I had a lot of turbos, never kept one more than like 30, 40,000 miles. I did sell one. I did actually sell one to one of my dad's friends from work, and I ran into him like years later, and he said, yeah, I got like 220,000 on that car. And the only problem he had, was the heater core, something to do with the heater core, but the engine still ran strong. But like I said, I wouldn't say that's the norm. And like I said, when I get them, I would always lease them for a couple years, so I never had more than like 35,000. But I never blew one up. Despite my efforts, I never blew one up in the first couple years. Well, that was kind of a good thing.
I'm sure it's like anything else. Once they once they dial in the manufacturing and they get the tunes right on them, I think the tunes are going to be the biggest thing. If you're putting too much boost in or too much timing, you're going to wear that motor out because they're basically just wound up little gerbil motors. Like my company car I had was a 1.2 liter turbo, and I was hauling around at any given time 400 pounds of tools in the back, and it's like, there's no way this thing's going to make it to 100K. So a buddy of mine at my old job is driving it now. They gave it to him. So I'm keeping tabs on it. I'm curious if it's going to make it to 100K without issue.
Here's a funny story. Back in 1986, I had a Daytona, and I got the aftermarket boost computer. It was what they call the off-road computer, which is really cool because it actually, the alternator actually, or it made the alternator put out more voltage, so it put out like 15 volts instead of 13.8 to run all the off-road lights and stuff like that. But yeah, it went from 12 and a half pounds of boost to, I think, 15 pounds, and it made a huge difference. Hold on a second, let me unkey here for some time. So my friend had a 5.0 Mustang, and he had a little bit of work done to him. We'd race, it would be like an exact dead tie. We would be like welded, the cars would be welded together up to about 120, and then I would start pulling away from them. Because on a Mustang, it was four gears were close ratio, and the fifth gear was overdrive. So whenever he'd hit fifth gear, he would just stop at 120. It took him forever to get past 120.
Yeah, you start pumping boost and stuff, it gets fun. My Super Duty, man, once I got that thing tuned and deleted, it was ridiculous. I know you're not adding boost per se, you're adding fuel, but man, when that turbo lit, it was just like, it'd throw you back in your seat.
Yeah, the way that Daytona was stock, it would hit 10 pounds of boost instantly, and then it would creep up to 12 and a half if everything was okay. It was like a safety thing. Okay, we got enough octane. Is it knocking? Okay, the engine's not knocking. But when I put that computer in, it would go boom right up to 15. It wouldn't stop at 10 and go to 12. It would go right to 15. And the funny thing is that when we put four people in both of our cars, the more weight we added into my Daytona, the more it would beat his car, which totally goes against all logic. You figure, you know, a naturally aspirated V8 would have more torque, but when we put four people in each car, I would walk right away from them. So when we're one person in each car, we were tied.
You get a certain point, and weight doesn't matter a whole lot. But you know, I don't know what kind of tune that was, but torque. In my opinion, torque wins races. So if you got the torque to move the vehicle and whatever's in it, you're gonna probably pull out ahead. Like I said, my old Super Duty, when I had that thing tuned up, I forgot what I was making for boost, but it would do 0 to 60 in just under 8 seconds, and it was an 8,000 pound crew cab long bed with 35 12.5-inch tires on it. I lined up next to a Challenger RT one time and just blew the doors off of it. No offense to your company or anything, but you know, that's just the RT, so I think that's the Hemi. It was nothing special, but I miss having a fast vehicle, man. I drive a 5.3 now. I think it's a dog.
Yep. Well, the one I have now with the wide body and the bigger tires, 0 to 60, is just, or was it, right around 4. I got it stored in my computer. I think it was right around 4 seconds. I was comparing different launch methods. And if I did it manually by myself without using the launch control and all that, I got a little bit better results. So just a tick over 4 seconds, you know, with just doing it my way.
Yeah, 4 seconds is quick. I've been looking at those, the Model S's, just as a commuter, because I drive 6 miles a day for work. And I just pounded miles on my truck just to commute. I'm like, God, if I can get one of these cheap enough, it might make
make sense, but it doesn't, unfortunately. But those things are like 2.6 seconds. They just launch you. But that's a whole other can of worms at the EV and all torque. But I got to start packing these kids in here for bed. We just ate dinner. I'm going to clear out, but maybe I'll catch you tomorrow. So good talking to you, and I'll catch up with you soon. NATDF, clear up yours.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, guy at work has one. And, yeah, they're faster than a six. That's what they're good for. But all right, catch you later. W8EAP.
KF8BRC. KF8AYL. Detroit Rock City. Are you out there?
KF8BRC. Hello, Ken.
Well, how's it going there, Jack? Did you get your radios back from Eric yet?
No, not yet. I'm on that 390.
Oh, all right. Well, I think I heard him say earlier he got them all programmed, so he'll get them back soon.
Oh, yeah. And how are you doing, anyhow?
Well, a little bit of snow coming down here right now. We had some snow yesterday. Didn't stick, but got some snow again today.
Well, that's good. Keep everything cool.
Yeah, I just rebuilt my air compressor motor. It's a motor from the 1950s. A 3-horsepower giant motor. The bearings went bad, and so I just swapped the bearings. Man, that thing is... I think those bearings were bad when I got it in 2001, because now it's the quietest I've ever heard it. It's hilarious. It's so quiet.
Well, that's good. That is really good. You changed the whole bearings on it?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to that motor. It's you take it apart, you pull the rotor out from the main body. I blew it out with some compressed air to clean all the crap out of it and dust bunnies, and replace the bearings. That was the main thing, replace the bearings, put it back together. The caps all tested fine, the two caps, the start and run cap, tested perfect, and put it back together, and it's better than ever. Super quiet.
Is that the one, like, the upright, or the one you pull in?
I'm not sure what you mean. It's just an electric motor that I put the bearings in.
And how did you find that one out? I mean, who had it all that time?
Well, it's not too difficult to figure out. You take it apart, you pull the bearings off, and then you... you can look at the bearing numbers on the bearings that are there and reorder the same ones. And I got the same ones, Timken, made in USA. Put them in. Good to go.
Now it works like a champ with a cigar.
I'm having a cigar right now. You're not wrong. You're not wrong on that one.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, that old compressor. So, yeah, the compressor itself is from 1913. It's an old, quote, U.S. air compressor, unquote. That was the name of the company. back then. I changed the rings in it when I got it in 2001, and that thing's been a champ ever since. But yeah, the motor started making a bunch of racket the other day, so I new bearings in it, and I think those bearings were bad for a long time because it's never been quieter. It's super quiet. It comes on and just all you hear is the motor hum now. It's great. It's a beautiful sound.
Yeah, probably this. Probably gonna tell you. Let us send a good bearing. That way, it doesn't make no noise for him. Roger.
Yeah, it's a. She's a smooth runner machine now, so she's good. I'm happy with it. No complaints. How's life in Rochester Hills?
Oh, it's the same thing. The other day, you know, it was bad when that stock market went down.
What do you mean the other day? It was Thursday, Friday, Monday, today. It's been 4 days of bloodbath.
No, it was last Thursday. It really, you know, I went downtown. It really, even, you know, you can walk without having any problem there.
Well, it kind of went up this morning, and then it tanked again after Trump announced another retaliatory tariff. 100% something on China, so yeah, it's gonna be a bloodbath for a few weeks here, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I heard from my cousin. He says it's the best time to buy some right now.
Well, that remains to be seen. I personally, I think it's gonna go down for the next many days. It's gonna be a wild ride. It's been a wild ride the last Thursday and Friday were brutal. Yesterday and today were just kind of like wild swing. Who knows what's gonna happen? I think the rest of the week's gonna be like that. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? It's a huge gamble.
I would say, you know, the way I said it, the way they, my cousin said it, said wait another 3-4 weeks. That's what he said. You'll find out.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that assessment. Like, I don't think I'm making any major moves for the next few weeks, aside from some little day trading here and there, trying to make a profit on some short selling or whatever, but yeah, it's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, you're right about that, but you never know. The thing could change overnight. It really do.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, there's speculation that he's going to take the tariffs off. It's like, no, sure. Trump is not a Trump wins to double down. So if he can double down, he's going to double down. That's the end of that. And yeah. Who knows?
If he can triple down, he will triple down. This is KFA DRC.
Yes, he will, right or wrong. But, yeah, without getting into politics too much. How's the garden coming? You got the garden started yet?
Yeah, I was a couple of days out. I cleaned everything, and I planted some red radishes.
little few nights of freezing left here, I think. Are those in danger?
Well, you know what? Red Reddish is at the seeds. I put the seeds in, you know. And you know what? If it's 34, it's okay. 35, it's okay. And not, you know, 30. 30, it'll freeze, probably.
I think it's supposed to be 28 here tonight. I don't know what's supposed to be down there, but it's supposed to be 28 here today. I got the wood stove going.
Oh, I hope you're not going soon up north.
Oh, I got my camera there. They got hammered with snow the last week, but it warmed up a bit. But, yeah, there's still a foot. Foot and a quarter on the ground or so, probably, or somewhere around there. Yeah, there's still a lot of snow on the ground there. It's quite beautiful, actually. I wish I was there.
Ken, by the way, Bob back out. Bobby's back out online from 3 days ago.
I heard him. I heard him on there and talked to him the other day. Yeah, that's great.
Well, yeah, now at least, you know, when you go up there, you can find, you know, he'll guard you out.
Well, when I was up there, he wasn't on it because it was a lonely repeater then. I passed through there 6 times. Wasn't able to raise him, but yeah, he'll be listening a lot more now that it's been reconnected.
Yeah, I heard it was a mess over there. It was a very mess to find out what that wiring was.
I'm not sure what the connection problem was, but I know in the last week and a half, especially, they've had the whole northeast section there has been ravaged with ice storms, ice stuff. Some people just, one buddy of mine in my house just got power back today from two Sundays ago. So, maybe a week and a couple of days here. Yeah, it's been pretty brutal there. So, the fact that they got it back online, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, he was telling me, you know, they had no power like 2 months. 2 months with no power. And that's all, he was sitting on the generator and a blanket, electric blanket. That's what he was telling me.
Yeah, it's, the grid can be full at times in certain areas, that's for sure. It seems like nothing happens for years, and then all of a sudden it goes out for a long time, and you're like, wait, what happened here?
He said they had to call the power people from a different state, and also the National Guard were there too, helping out.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. When that storm came through 2 Sundays ago around this area, we were out of power for a couple of days, and the internet was in and out for like 4 or 5 days. But I'd go into town, into Birch Run, where there's a couple of hotels because they're the feeders for the Frankenmuth stuff, and the hotels were loaded with utility trucks, all from out of state. So they had definitely called in all the out of state reinforcements to come up and help fix the power outages.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. That is bad. That's really bad. You know, I don't know how, but the people does it over there. I mean, I give them power. How they get to make it over there? I really do.
All right, Jack, I'm going to step in here. I got a guy pinging me from Japan, so I need to respond to that. But I'll be clearing your final. This is KF8AYO.
All right, Ken. Good talking to you. Take care. KF8VRC.
Hey, Jack. ABOTR. See if you can hear how you hear 2.5 now.
On one repeater, or you want me to go on the 2.5?
Yeah, it's basically fixed. It's got a lot more power now. So I wonder if you can hear it okay where you're at.
Give me a second. I have another radio on that 2.5. Let me get that other radio.
Yeah, is that on an outside antenna?
No, but I have them coming in tonight, probably or tomorrow. Probably tonight I have the one for outside, because I don't have the 9600 here yet. But I have the walkie-talkie if you want.
No, I thought you'd make it in, but I wonder if you can hear it. If that was you, Jack, try it again. You were almost in there.
No, that was me with a little 2-watt bow thing sitting in my dining room.
Okay, could you hear it on it?
Yeah, no problem. A little bacon fry, but perfectly fine.
Okay, and I'm assuming before you couldn't.
Break. Full quieting and make a little Orchard Lake.
No kidding. So Jack, can you hear it out there on your HT? Just curious. If you're trying to transmit, you probably can't, but just go back to 2.6 and give me a report. Okay, I lost Jack. All right. Hello, Dave. Fun meeting, fun stuff. I don't think, are you going to be at tomorrow's meeting?
Yeah, I shouldn't have to try that hard, but yeah, that was fun. I think we got everything done. That was good. Hey, listen, I'm going to do you a big favor because I know you're dying to know, and I'm so wound up. I need to unwind anyway. I'm going to take a little road trip out to the west and see how this thing's doing.
Tonight?
Right now, I'm all wound up. If I go home and do stuff, I can't do any work, and if I go home, I'm not going to sleep for 2 hours anyway, because you're my friend, and I know you want to know. I'm going to go find out.
All right, I wouldn't. Well, I guess if you got nothing better to do. I'm going up to the Far East Side tomorrow, so I can check it out that way.
It won't take long. It took me 20 minutes to run out to, the thing was falling apart pretty bad at, the 23 split, Kensington and all that. I'll run up there and run back. I got to get a hamburger anyway. I'll go have dinner up there and then shoot back. So, and take 20 minutes. Big deal.
All right. I'll try listening. So, very good. See you tomorrow, I guess. ABAPR. Good night.
Phil, hey, thanks for all your support tonight. ABAPR, hey, take that. I'll be listening.
Okay, F8S. Just testing my 705. Sounds good.
sounds perfect. And he's like, yeah, full quieting, very clean, great audio.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was testing on my, listening on my phone. So, yeah, cool. All right, good to know that it works. Thanks. KFADA.
KFADA, I think they can. Is that chaos like some? Milford.
Where are you now?
Just going by the Milford exit. It's definitely doing better out here. It got a little noisy, like down in the valley, but I should be rock solid now. I'm on top of the hill, and just coming down the hill into Kensington.
Okay, well, you're solid into the system.
I was on top of the hill. I'm coming down, but it's doing a whole lot better.
Yeah, where you'll probably, once you get towards Holly, I think is where you'll lose it.
I'm down in the dumps here, down in the valley right here by Kent Lake, so it might be a little scratchy, I don't know. I'll go out to 23. I've got to make a stop out here real quick anyway, so I'll go out to 23 and then I'll turn around and come back, but I think it's a lot better.
Yeah, you're very copyable. A little noise on you, but very copyable.
All right, if you're around, I'll give you a scream in a couple minutes. Hey, take it. And 96, probably a little noisy.
Peter, what, 96?
2396. I actually hear the repeater fine here.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Okay, I'm surprised.
And now I'm going low, so I was not, it's the top of the ramp. I wasn't on a hill or anything.
Yeah, you run out of string, as they say. Very choppy, couldn't understand you. Nah, just out of range. All right, that's a good, that's very good. I'm glad I went that far. ABAPO.
This will be my last one. This is 23 and Lee Road, and I'm going to make a stop here, but I bet this should probably be a little bit better. Hopefully I'm up high enough here where you can hear me.
Yeah, that was complete copyable. Very good.
And the repeater sounds really good here. I'm going over the overpass. So it should be great right here, but pretty good job. Nice work.
All right, very good. I wonder if we can make it to Ann Arbor. You're not going back to that way, are you?
Not now. I gotta make a stop here, and then I'm going to come home. But tomorrow I will. I can give you a report down in Ann Arbor tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good night. Thanks. ABP.
see what happens.
The sheriff's got she's got to take off around a quarter after one, but we could just drive separate. That's not a big deal. She's got to pick up her granddaughter and do something. But yeah, I know that works. I think, you know, Carrie's got to get to work, so she can't stay too late.
Right.
I didn't know if she jumped in there, if I left a pause in there or not.
You out there, Carrie? How's it going? Yeah, maybe she had to stay after school.
It could be.
I told you I got the lawn tractor ready to go. Everything fought me all the way. It couldn't get the blades off. The nuts were, I don't know, the impact wrench wouldn't touch it. But got a long breaker bar and clamped a block of wood to the mower deck, and so the blade had something to hit for a stop, and then used the breaker bar to get the nuts or the bolts off.
Yeah, that happens.
Got these convex washers, I guess, that makes it kind of a constant torque thing, so they flatten out, and it was just kind of weird. It took a long time to get them tight and everything with the breaker bar and get them loose.
Yep, that's exactly what you're talking about. Dam washers are pretty thick, too.
That and that stupid solenoid was barely worked. The threaded holes in the solenoid were a size smaller than the ones that were in the original solenoid, and it's clocked a little bit different, so when I got it on there, the wires didn't quite fit right, and I was just, you know, one of those things. But everything works good now.
Good quality Chinese replacement parts.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you pay $20 for a part that's normally $65 or
$70. No, I'll listen for her to come busting through the doors if she doesn't get on the radio. House are quiet at night.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Sharon got the results of her MRI today. She's got like 5 torn muscles in her shoulder. 3 of the 4 muscles in her rotator cuff were completely severed or torn with retraction, and then one in her bicep and the subscapular tendon is partially torn.
Wow.
Neither of us know how she did it. We figured she must have fallen at some point and did it, and it just didn't manifest itself. It just got gradually worse. She tried to compensate using other muscles, but she's definitely going to need some surgery.
Yeah, I think sometimes in life when you hurt yourself, you overcompensate in different ways. You know, that's probably exactly what she did, and just made it worse instead of better, you know?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I also think she was just trying to outdo me. I tore one tendon in my shoulder a year or so ago and had to have surgery to fix it. It's fine now, but she just had to outdo me.
I've kind of like really cut down on my soda drinking, and seems to go through a lot more water, though.
Yeah, for a long time I switched to diet. Drink just nothing but diet pop, and after the heart problems I was having, I switched to Well, I switched to Crystal Light Lemonade for a while, and then eventually I just switched to water. That's all I pretty much drink now, except when I go out. If I go out, I may have a Coke, a Diet Coke. But at home, I just drink water.
Yeah, if I go to Wendy's or something, I get a Diet Coke. Other than that, like you said, at home here, it's just water. You don't even have to be bottled water. I just, we got some recess, and let's just, I just use that.
Yeah, our refrigerator outputs pretty good water, so that's all I drink.
Must be Detroit Sweet, didn't spill. There you go, view.
Cool.